You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 3, episode 5 tonight. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. And John, I think it's fair to say Between the Stripes LOI podcast officially endorsed by Conan Byrne and co.
Yeah, fantastic to hear that on the Greatest League of the World podcast. It's great to get a bit of positive recognition.
Yeah, I think everyone's been speaking about all the great League of Ireland podcasts there is available at the moment. And
do you know, Kieran, it's not just a podcast, there's so many Facebook pages, Twitter pages. Absolutely brilliant to see. I'm amazed with the coverage this season.
Do you think it's had an effect on the attendances? Because I know some people have accredited the huge growth in social media in the league in recent years to this really positive start to attendances we've seen at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's got to have. I mean, there's more people going to matches. There's more people following what's going on social media. The amount of accounts out there that are promoting the league, they're promoting individual clubs. Mm. It's phenomenal. So, it's definitely having a knock-on effect.
Yeah, well, look, we'll try and do our part. And we certainly have an absolutely cracking show tonight, John. Series 3, Episode 5, as I said. And you're going to give us the guest lineup now.
Yeah, well, like you say, absolute crack. And I can't wait to speak to Declan Devine because he's started the season off so well up at Derry.
Yeah, big fans of Declan Devine, myself and John. Really, really like what he's doing at Derry, trying to almost build kind of an identity around the club again that you would have always associated with teams going to the Brandy Well and have been an intimidating place to go.
Kieran,
and it should be this weekend when Dundalk go up there because I'm sure it's going to be absolutely packed to the rafters.
And he's making an impact already. You can see it with those defensive performances away from home. You know, Derry would have gone to Cork and capitulated, maybe conceded 4. There'd have been a couple of defensive howlers, not this season.
Yeah. In terms of, you're talking about defensive howlers there, let's look to a man who can score the goals, our second guest of the night.
Yeah, Mikey Drennan. So he's been in good form this season so far. He's made a great start to his Pats career, although there's probably one he probably won't like looking back on the television from the weekend's matches.
Yeah, that header against Rovers. I think it's fair to say Rovers were a far better team in that game. Probably should have won by more, but had that goal gone in, it could have been a big turning point. Our final guest of the night, it's from the First Division.
Yeah, Sam Verdon joins us. He started the season and it looked like he was going to Harps. He made part of an appearance, and the next thing, he's at Longford Town.
Yeah, I can see Nigel and all the Harps crew now maybe just throwing a few words at their cameras or their iPhones or whatever they're listening on. But look, delighted to get Sam Verdon back on the podcast tonight, and I'm sure he'll have some very interesting things to talk about. And we'll go straight into the First Division review. We'll start with the First Division this week, John, because there's a couple of major talking points I want to touch on tonight's show. And we'll start with the game that I covered live for Between the Stripes Matchday Live, our new online commentary service at the weekend. Cavan Teely holding Longford to a 1-1 draw, but all the talk before, during and after this game,
I'm holding
was
my head because I know what's
pitch.
Coming. The rant.
Yeah.
It's Kieran's weekly rant.
Well, you weren't there. You were off throwing your money into the English game watching Man City.
Excuse me? it was my son's birthday.
Yeah,
I think you'll allow that one.
They're well able to maintain their pitches, but unfortunately, Cavan Teely, as we all know, to their defence, they don't own the venue they play at, Stradbroke. It's property.
Just mentioning Manchester City there, I have to say the quality of the linesman, I know this is another of your favourite topics, Kieran, but he was atrocious. I was thinking, LOI, not good enough for the League of Ireland, that lad. But Cavan Teely against Longford Town, what can we tell you about it? Sam Verdon put Town into the lead, the returning Sam Verdon, we'll be speaking to him later. Cavan Teely equalised through Rob Manley, so there was some fun in that house that night, I'd say.
Yeah, Rob was probably Cavan Teely's most attacking threat in the first half. In the first half, Longford dominated this game without creating too many chances. I think that's probably the downside to their performance, despite all the good football they played on what was, and we will get to the pitch, an atrocious pitch. Longford got the ball down, they maintained possession, And they were well worth their lead at half-time through a Verdon volley off a set piece. But Manly got the equaliser. In the second half, Cabin Teely came out with so much more fire in their belly. There wasn't, people were asking me, what was the difference in the second half? There was no real tactical tweaks or any great stroke of genius from Pat Devlin and the Cabin Teely backroom staff. It was just a simple, good-fashioned talking to a half-time. They came out and they got right in the face of the Longford players. The win then as well was really whipping up in the second half, so it was very difficult for Longford to try and play, but they weren't allowed to play. That's the main thing. So when people hear me speaking about the pitch here, I don't want them saying, here's a Longford man making excuses. Cabin Teely were great value for the result on the night, but the pitch played a major, major part.
Right, Kieran, we were talking off air just before we started here about pitches and how the rugby's played on some pitches in England, but I tell you what they don't do. They don't play three rugby matches in a trot before a League of Ireland match.
Whether that is the case or not, that was certainly the talk around Stradbroke on Friday night, that there have been three rugby games on that pitch in the build-up to this one.
That's totally unacceptable, Kieran.
What was strange for me, John, was there was a pitch inspection at 2 p.m. Now, there was no heavy downpours in the lead-up to kick-off. There was no water lying on the surface before the game. So clearly the referee, Paula Brady, felt that the pitch, just in the state it was in, needed to be looked at. Now, she passed it fit for the game. I'd have to have question marks over that. I thought, especially out in the flanks, wingers and the fullbacks in particular, the amount of times they lost their footing, the ball would not lie flat on the ground. It was bobbling the whole way through the game. I know we mentioned the Limerick pitch earlier in the season, but that looked like the Burnabout compared to this Stradbroke surface. If you just go onto my Twitter account, @KieranBTS, you'll see a photo that I uploaded after the game that caught fire, in all honesty. Very, very little grass on the pitch. And just not good enough, John. And you'd have to question, is this going to be allowed to continue? Because the defence I've heard of this surface is, oh, well, it gets better as the season goes on when the rugby ends. Is that good enough at this level? This is the second highest league in the country.
No, it isn't, Kieran. And we shouldn't be having the pitches like this. I mean, we talked about the UCD pitch as well, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago? But shouldn't be having pitches in this state so early in the season. Absolutely not.
Yeah, look, the UCD pitch, and I know there's been criticism for the likes of Dalymount Park. John, they're playable. They may be a little bit bumpy, and they will improve, as we've said, but this pitch was not playable. This pitch was... It wasn't a pitch. It was just... I can't describe how bad it was. In all my years watching League of Ireland, I've never seen anything as bad as this.
It looked like an injury waiting to happen, Kieran, from what I saw the pitch. So, really disappointing. And I believe their next home fixture has been switched.
Yeah, in the Leinster Senior Cup, they were due to play Bray Wanderers at home. Obviously, with that being a nice, handy trip for them, they've decided, for whatever reason, to... whether it's the pitch or not, they've decided to reverse the home and the away side, so Bray will host that game, but it'll certainly give the pitch some rest, much needed rest. But if I was the next team in the league going up to Stradbroke and I turned up and the pitch was in any sort of similar condition to this, I'd certainly be raising a fuss before kickoff.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yeah, I'm happy enough to move on. That's out of the system. But right. Look, again, just on final point in that game, Cabin Teely, well worth their value on the night for the point. Longford very, very poor in the second half, and they'll have to pick their game up for when they host Galway at the weekend. But for Cabin Teely, a point at home to one of the sides that's been tipped for promotion. So Cabo again showing Stradbroke's a very difficult place to go, but we really do need to see a big improvement in the playing surface there.
I'm detecting another rant coming at our second match in the roundup. Cove 6, Wexford 1.
Yeah, well, Cove had a very slow start to the season, John, but they caught fire the other night in St. Coleman's Park. Unfortunately, only a crowd of about 200 there to witness it, so we'll speak about that shortly. But for Wexford FC, this was a game where you maybe looked at it and said, can they get something from it? But no, they've been absolutely hammered off the pitch. It's a very young Wexford side, as we mentioned. They've lost now every game they've played so far this season. They've shipped 14 goals in three games. Two
That's
red cards
good,
in the
Kieran.
Three games.
Yeah.
You just wonder, the question I put up on my own Twitter account, again, it's @KieranBTS if you want to give it a follow, was, will Wexford FC win a game this season? Now, the majority was, there was no majority, I think it was a 51-49 type of split, but it was for the fact most people said Wexford won't win a game this season, but it's encouraging that, you know, that's not overwhelming. We didn't see a 70-30 or anything.
Yeah,
but
you've written them off very early in the season there, Kieran.
What's your view, John? Can Wexford FC win a game this season?
Of course they can, Kieran. You know, every team has a bit of luck. And I know...
Is that all you're holding out for? A bit of luck?
Well, it's too early, Kieran.
They've shipped 14 goals in three games.
I know they've shipped 14 goals, which is a desperate start. But
John, they've played Athlone,
Yep.
Who last season, obviously now they're a huge improvement on last season, uh-huh. but they're not been tipped to be one of the top three sides. They played Galway, who again are not top tipped to be one of the top three sides. And now they played Cove, who people reckon might be the second, third bottom in this. What's going to happen when they go and play Shells this weekend? Yeah, well, what's going to happen when they play the likes of Longford, the likes of Bray?
They had an encouraging cup result as well, though. You've got to remember it as well. That was... don't look at me like that, Kieran. They did. Look, I'm trying to give them some benefit of the doubt here. I just think it's too early to write them off. Give them another couple of matches at least, and then you can be talking about writing them off for the season.
Okay. Just on a Cove perspective, great result this one to get things up and running, but only 200 turning out. Why is that? That's certainly not in line with what we're seeing across the rest of the league.
Well, is it fickle fans, Kieran? I mean, there was a bit of trouble at the start of the season there, wasn't there?
There just seems to always be this kind of underlying issue around Cove that they don't seem to want to get behind their local club. I'm sure there's a lot of politics involved, like there is across the country in Irish football, but I mean, there's some great people down there doing some fantastic work.
Let's talk about that, because when I've been to Cove, it's a super day out, Kieran.
Yeah.
You've got a great bar at the ground, you know, and the ground itself is perfectly
you're
fine
right on
to
top
go and
the
watch your game. You've a great viewing point, and to be honest, you're by the sea. It's great in a summer's day as well, so look... I don't see what's not to like about going and watching football.
People are talking about the likes of Limerick, who we'll have to speak about their attendance later on as well, in terms of their social media letting them down and not doing enough to promote the club. I went on Cove's Twitter earlier today and just had a look through it. They're certainly keeping their fans up to date about everything that's going on in the club. Yeah. I'm not just talking about senior fixtures. If you go on, you can find out what's happening with their 13s, their 15s, their 17s, about all these raffles and draws and other things they're doing. I'm sure you seen last night as well, Hendo taking the lads out to do training on the hill there.
Yeah, brilliant.
But from what I'm told, there's only one man running their social media down there, and they're struggling for volunteers like so many clubs are. So this is the issue that First Division clubs face, in particular First Division clubs. They just can't get enough resources, enough hands involved to try and just push them onto that next level. And you'd have to really worry if Cove can't find a way of bringing the people in, how they're going to sustain themselves off a crowd of 200.
Look, what they need quite clearly to do is get some performances in, because it's very easy for the fans to write them off, as you've done Wexford early on in the season, just out on the back of a couple of bad results. So I think if Cove were to win a couple of games on the spin, then, you know, we might
Wexford
see...
Wexford had more, though, at their last home game. They had about 2-8-4 at their last home game. So Cove, and I know the weather on the night was poor, and obviously Wexford wouldn't be a big draw, wouldn't be bringing many away fans, but it's a very worrying attendance figure this early in the season.
Yeah, I have to agree, but look... I'm not going to write them off as I'm not going to write Wexford off.
We'll go to the next game, John. Athlone, who've had a great start to the season. Look, we don't want to be all negative tonight. Let's mention their attendance. Just under 700 turning out, which is way beyond any expectations they would have had last season or the season before.
That's but, super. I'm delighted to see the fans back at Athlone. That's
great. With the derby coming up in a couple of weeks, you can imagine that maybe it could be 7-8. Could they push towards maybe the 1,000 mark with the amount of Longford fans that'll be expected to travel? It's great to see, but look, let's move away from attendance for a moment. On the pitch, Shelburne ran out 2-0 winners.
Yeah, Ryan Brennan with the opener. Athlone's chances took a blow when Kieran Grogan got sent off.
From all reports, a very tight game up until that red card.
Yeah, and Kilduff scored straight after that. But I think that's obviously changed the game. But look, it's such an encouraging start to the season for Athlone.
On the pitch and off the pitch, it's been really encouraging from Matt Lone. I think this derby, I'm already talking about it, is 2 weeks away, but I think it's shaping up to be an absolute classic, because Athlone are certainly on the right track. Longford haven't just clicked yet, but they're showing signs that they might. So that game again next week, they're all big at this stage of the season, but this First Division is really, really exciting at the moment. But one man who's certainly living up to the hype is Kilduff.
Yeah, he got the second for Shells, and look, he's too good for this division. He's killed off. I don't know. I still don't know how he's at Shells, but you know, he should be in the top league.
I wouldn't like to see his odds on the Golden Boot, because you'd certainly be buying money.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, one team that are determined to put a spanner in Shells' hopes for the title this season are Bray, and they carried on with their excellent start to the season, winning 1-0 at Galway.
Yeah, and again, four figures at this game for Galway, so that's really positive. And their performance, again, showing signs that they're going to be much, much more competitive than last season. But Bray... Dean O'Halloran, one of their big name signings again. Their signings have just clicked so, so well, John. You often don't see this in football where these big names come in and straight away they've clicked. You've got goals from McGlade, you've got goals from Keegan, and now you've got goals from O'Halloran. People are really excited about this Bray side, and I can see why.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to give Shells a run for the money for this, for the title this season. You know, if they keep on going, and they're not dropping too many points at all.
Isn't it great to see this amount of star power in the First Division?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, we have to play against them, but as Town fans, but it is, yeah. And it's like we say, it's just a shame we don't get a bit more coverage.
Yeah, and look, we shouldn't really bring personal bias into it, but you've got to be delighted for Gary Cronin there as well. Such a top fella. Great association with Longford Town down the years, and he's had a great start to life in the First Division now this season.
And like we said before, you know, he had that tail end of last season, which was, you know, he was on a hiding to nothing, wasn't he? Yeah. With everything that was going on. But look, he's lying in the sand, blank sheet of paper, and he's doing so well this season. Delighted for him.
Final fixture, it was a little bit more gloomy, this one. It was a scoreless draw. I called this one, John. I called the scoreline on this last week. But Limerick, 0-0 at home to Drogheda. Limerick had over 800 in the gate the first week when they played Longford Town. That was cut by 50% this time, just over 400 turning out for what, by all reports, was a dour game of football.
Yeah, that's a little bit disappointing. And to be honest, I'm not being overly impressed with either team so far this season. And I thought Drogheda might sneak this one, but 0-0. We have not too much to talk about with this one.
I think a lot of people expected Limerick to struggle this season with everything that's gone on off the pitch there. But Drogheda, they did lose DC, and obviously they lost their other fullback to St. Pat's. So they are slightly weaker this season. As I said on last week's show, I'm very surprised that McCaffrey still isn't there. Maybe if he was on the pitch this time, could he have been the difference between the two sides? It's hard to know, but Drogheda struggling to create chances, which is something they definitely didn't struggle with last season. As for Limerick, look, defensively, I suppose Tommy Barrett's got to be happy with them, but in an attacking sense, they're really not showing an awful lot at the moment, and that's why we're seeing such low crowds. Plus, as I mentioned, their social media, it's light years behind the rest of the league at the moment.
Yeah, there's things to work on and off the pitch there.
Let's move to the top flight, John. Absolute thriller at Finn Park. We thought it might be, but I don't think any of us seen seven goals in it, and it was Cork that came out on the right side of that seven-goal scoreline. 4-3 and two goal of the season contenders. For
well,
the
two absolute crackers from Cork, I have to say. And this was a belter of a game, Kieran. Make no bones about it. Absolute cracker. And it was Keelan McAleary who he broke the Cork offside trap early on to make it 1-0. But
just on McAleary, I think we both agree he struggled big time with Sligo, and we were hoping this move back to Hearts might spark him back into life in the early weeks of the season. It's certainly looking like he's going to get back to his best.
Yeah, he's looking like their standout player so far this season. So,
sorry, have you not seen Raf Cotaro?
Oh, yeah.
He's been amazing. Yeah. He's been absolutely... It's amazing to say this, given the two screamers that went in, but for me, Cotaro was man of the match in this game the other night. The little touches he showed, even for his goal, a little side foot finish, he just knew where to place it. It was brilliant. But his passing, his control, and he has the captain's armband now as well, which speaks testaments to the character he is in the dressing room and on the pitch. He's a real leader. And I think Sligo could regret letting him go big time. And if Hearts are to stay up, he's going to play a major, major role. You just got to keep your fingers crossed he doesn't pick up any injuries.
Yeah, he's going to be critical for them, like McAleer. But look, we'll get back to the game. Cork equalised. Harps failed to defend the corner, Kieran.
They defended the initial corner. It was the second ball that killed them on this one.
Yeah, and Griffin, it was with the equaliser. 2-1, Harps went back in the lead. Again, McAleer crossing for Mark Coyle to make it 2-1. But then, goal of the season already.
Yeah, it won't be beaten.
Talk us through this one. I mean, it's Gerard Morrissey. He chips the ball up, he spins, and then he unleashes an unstoppable volley. It's a fantastic goal.
He uses his thigh just to serve it up to himself, and then he kind of a half bicycle kick, I'd call it, kind of a scissors action, and he's got a lovely little slice on the ball, and I think it's just clipped the underside of the crossbar on the way in, hasn't it? It's down the middle of the goals, but the keeper, it's just gone straight over his head with unbelievable power, so there's no chance he's going to get anything on it, and it's clipped the crossbar and gone in, which makes it look even better as well. It's an absolute screamer. It's the goal of the season.
It's magnificent, and he followed it up with another cracker from distance, did Morrissey, and that put Cork 3-2 up. Man, we were worried about his form so far, Cummins, but he got a header from a corner. Again, Harps shaky from corners.
Yeah, he got involved in a little altercation before that Cummins with the goalkeeper of Harps, Peter Burke, and it seemed to fire him up a little bit. And I often get that feeling when I look at Cummins that he nearly needs something just to get him kickstart, and this seemed to be it. He got his goal, and Cork fans are going to be hoping now that's going to be his starting point for this season, and he can kick on. But we've spoken about Cork not being able to score a lot of goals this season, but I don't know. I'm still not convinced, John. I mean, they've scored two absolute screamers in this one, and they've scored from a set piece as well. So they're still not creating an awful lot from open play. Harps certainly had their chances. They'll be delighted to get three goals because, again, they've been a team that struggled to score goals this season. So we'll have to see how Cork bounce on from this one, but I'd still have my reservations about their attack and play.
Yeah, it was Crotaro that pulled it back to 3-4, but it was too late for them to get anything out of the game, unfortunately for Harps. But like I say, great advert for the league with that one, Kieran.
Oh yeah, brilliant. And I know the minute that goal went up, I think it had 80,000 views within a couple of hours of the goal, so that just shows the importance of getting the highlights up nice and early. But just final point on that, Ollie Horgan, he's got to be disappointed, and he certainly was in his post-match, speaking about the set-piece goals his side conceded.
Yeah.
It's very out of character.
Yeah, exactly. We've praised that Harps defence, but didn't look great there, did it? But credit to Cork, they've well-worked corners.
Another side that scored four at the weekend, Dundalk. I think this was a bit of a surprise result given the injuries. Michael Duffy was the latest name ruled out just before kick-off. And I was one of the many punters that decided to have a go on Waterford as a result.
Oh, no.
And Dundalk, they put me back in my box, 4-0.
Yeah, well, I questioned the setup there last week, didn't I? And boy, did I get an emphatic answer this week. 4-0. And Pat Hooban, he headed home from Murray Cross. He's been a great signing.
I'm shaking my head. The marking for that goal was non-existent.
Yeah. I'm going to talk... Well, that's one point I've got at the end about Waterford, how poor they were at the back.
Awful.
Daniel Kelly shot wide, but Sean Murray made it too. Like I say, looks a great signing.
Yeah, looks a class act.
Yeah. Rodgers, to be fair, he wasn't totally quiet. He had a couple of saves to make, but Kelly finished off any hopes that Waterford had with a nice strike to make it 3.
Lovely pass and build up for that goal. Really classic Dundalk goal, that one.
Yeah, and Cameron Donegan, nice strike to make it 4-0. But like you said, Kieran, I thought Waterford were very poor at the back. Oh. And they looked to have really regressed from where they were last season.
Yeah, I have to agree. Obviously, the budget's been cut there compared to last season, which is disappointing given the fact they qualified for Europe and everyone felt maybe they could kick on and be one of the challengers for a title. But they're miles away from it. If you look at the table at the moment, they're third bottom now. Do we expect them to be in any sort of trouble this season? The answer is an emphatic no. But do we see them maybe recreate what they done last season? You'd have to have major question marks over it even this early on in the season, because that back four, John, does not look up to scratch.
And I think what Dundalk did very well, they negated Bastian Heary really well.
Yeah, well, Heary went into the game carrying a knock, but...
Yeah, whether it was the fact he had a knock...
That's what I was going to say. He still has to be kept quiet. And the Dundalk players missing Shields, you have to remember, in midfield, they've still been able to snuff out one of the best playmaking midfielders in this league.
Yeah, so look, good result for Dundalk, but a little bit of a worry there for Waterford.
Yeah, I popped into the town in Dundalk on Saturday, and I was just speaking to a couple of supporters there in Stevie's coffee shop. I'm sure all League of Ireland fans that go into Dundalk.
Is he paying
town.
You?
He gave me a free hot chocolate, actually. But a lot of Dundalk fans were saying that it wasn't just the result, it was the performance from Dundalk on the night. It was a little bit different from what you'd expect. They let Waterford have the ball at times, and then really with high intensity went and pressed them and won it back in dangerous positions. So whether that's something that the management team at Dundalk looked at, maybe that the back four of Waterford isn't the quickest, and they've gone and exploited that. So big result from Dundalk. They look to kick on, but Waterford need to improve massively at the back.
Sligo beat UCD 1-0, and it was an early goal after a mistake from the UCD defence that let Romeo Parks in, and to be fair, neat finish from him.
This has to be the most frustrating result of the weekend, because not only did it cost me the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game, John, but UCD played really, really well on the night. Yeah. They passed the ball brilliantly, but it's just one silly mistake at the back that cost them.
That can always happen when you're playing that kind of play out from the back. Mm. And, you know, they're not playing First Division football this season. Mm. You know, they can make the error and, you know, nine times out of ten, you might get away with it in the First Division. Not here, I'm
afraid. Got to give props to Parks, though. He really did take it well.
He finished it great, yeah. And he's a man that looks to be settling in now.
Yeah, he's got the confidence going now, so that's good to see.
Yeah, like you say, UCD were always at the races. Yo-Yo had a couple of chances in the first half, and in the second half there was a real goalmouth scramble, and you know, they had their chances, but Sligo really they just had to hang on to scrape that 1-0 win.
Conor Davis obviously is a great player. We know that from the impact he had after Georgie Kelly left, the pressure that would have been on his shoulders to come in and perform the way he did last season. Do you feel, though, Davis aside and the likes of Yo-Yo aside, do UCD have enough up front this season to stay up in the Premier Division?
Well, I think in those two they do, but I'm just looking. I mean, they've obviously got Gary O'Neill still, which is key, but you maybe would wonder if they just haven't got the creativity that they had last season.
That's why I'm leading you into a second question here. Something we've spoke about off air a lot. UCD, halfway through the season, they're a couple of points adrift in the bottom two places and they just need something to get them going.
Yeah.
Does Colly O'Neill look outside of the college system? Does he go and dip his toes into the transfer market and give someone half a season contract and say, go and get us out of this?
Well, he said he won't, hasn't he? That's what he said.
Short-sighted.
But, Kieran, like you say, will he change his mind if he's struggling to create chances and the two lads up front are struggling to get many opportunities? Then maybe
I think he has to examine.
Well, of course he has to, because otherwise he's going to get relegated. So, you know, there's only so much faith you can have in certain individuals. But if it's not working for you...
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not questioning. Yeah, I'm not questioning any of the players he has at his disposal. No. I think he's got a great team there. But just when you need that... Like, we've spoken about Cortaro there.
Touch of class to unlock a defence.
Yeah, we've spoken about Cortaro and what he'll bring to Hearts and their bid to stay up.
Yeah.
Can Sligo go and find somebody like that's not getting in a team somewhere else and bring them in and just... get them over the line. I just think it would be very short-sighted if he didn't examine that possibility in the next
UCD
transfer window.
I think you're right, but look, it's a little bit off that so far, and I think he'll be hoping that he's not in that situation, but for me, he's just lacking somebody that can maybe unlock, play that defence but in pass and create the more chances, because let's face it, last season they had lots of chances, did Yo-Yo and Conor Davis, and you know they had plenty of chances against poorer defences, but you need somebody to unlock the likes of Sligo, who've got a back four now that are settling in quite nicely to the league.
I just think the loss of Sligo and O'Connor, especially O'Connor, I think they do need to address it and maybe just look to get someone else in there. But look, that's for another day. Good debate there, John. Let's move along to the next result. Bows 1, Derry City 1, and I can hear the Bows fans cursing us already. We jinxed them again this week because we both went for a Gypsies win.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I'm questioning referee's decision here. Should that have been a red card at the start when Slater was brought down by Kieran Cole? He was the last man, Kieran.
I can't really remember it. and I did watch Soccer Republic before I came out, but... The question is the new rule that's come in, obviously, if a player makes a genuine, honest attempt to win the ball, there's not that triple jeopardy. He won't get the penalty and the red card and the suspension.
Well, it was well outside the box, Kieran, but he was the last man, so in my opinion, it should have been a
red. Was it an honest attempt for the ball?
Well, not convinced, to be honest. But I guess that is
the question. If the player makes a genuine attempt for the ball, it's only a yellow card if he's denied. But that's for a penalty, though. So maybe the question is a red card.
Well, I thought it would have been, and that would have changed the game very much. But one man, and credit where it's due, we have questioned him a few times before. Peter Cherry, he had an ever such
two
good
amazing
game.
Saves. Yeah, I remember them, no problem. So I don't know why that decision.
Well, from that free kick that was given, he saved well, and Derry, they had a couple of, well, you could say half chances before half time.
I think Bowes had the majority of chances in this game. They were well on top. So look, you can say whatever about us Jinx and Bowes, but they certainly should have took the chances on the night. This should have been 3 points for the hosts.
The penalty, well, that was definite penalty.
Yeah.
Stokes brought down and he got up and scored.
I think it was Pender that gave that one
it
away.
It was Pender,
very unlike him. It was a bit of a naive tackle to make. You know, I think he obviously thought the ball was in reach and he could just tow it away, but definitely if he had the chance back again, he would have just shepherded the... Because the attacker is going out towards the corner flag kind of direction, so strange choice to make the tackle, but he obviously felt just for that split second he could win the ball, but a costly error.
Yeah. Look, Cherry made another couple of great saves that half, but I have to say it was a soft equaliser for Bowes. Declan Devine a bit cross about that
one. Yeah, it was a strange one, that.
Yeah.
Took it well, though. Good finish.
Yeah, exactly. But very soft. But like you say, they'll take it, finish 1-1, and look, a point from home for Derry. They'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, you've mentioned Cherry's great save from the free kick. I actually thought a second one was better, point blank from inside the area.
Oh, yeah, super save.
Yeah, I thought that was a super save. But he got away with one in the dying seconds. He came out for a cross. He kind of flapped that a little bit. Bowes almost got a late winner from that. So it could have been a very different headline had they turned that one home. But look, a disappointing result for Bowes. Derry on the road, they'll be delighted with that point. And we have an interview coming up shortly with their manager, Declan Devine. So stick around for that one, Derry fans. Final result from the weekend, John, in terms of the Premier Division. St. Pat's, they were defeated at home in the Dublin Derby. Shamrock Rovers with a huge 3 points here. 1-0 the score.
This is a massive result, Kieran, because, you know, it kept Rovers at the top. And they're looking decent to start to... To say early on, I know you don't. So you can be critical of Rovers and the lack of a striker, but I want to
talk about this result and performance because obviously I'd seen Rovers against Dundalk, and as you said, I was very critical of their approach. This was totally different from Rovers. The attacking players that didn't show up against Dundalk, they really, really showed up in this game, particularly Jack Byrne. I thought he was superb.
Yeah, Dan Carr had a good game.
Dan Carr had a good game. Is he the one now that's going to take the number 9 shirt, so to speak, because Voyage, as I said, doesn't look to have lived up to the hype. But
McAniff, a great signing as well.
He's looking superb on the night. Yeah, it was a penalty though. If you want to talk us through it.
Yeah, well, Mealy had a chance early on against his former club, but he blasted over. But the penalty, yeah, it was a horrendous error, really, and gave Kevin Toner no chance in defence. He gave away the penalty.
That one, do you think that should have been a red card? Because for me, Toner looks to have lunged it with no intention of winning the ball. It's a bit 2-footed from behind. Could he have gone?
I don't think so on that one. It wasn't one that stood out for me.
Right.
No, I don't think so. I think the penalty was just as enough. And McAniff, he coolly slotted it home to make it 1-0. Dan Carr, the one thing that frustrates me about Dan Carr, I think he gets himself in good positions, but it's just finishing for me.
His final ball, like I noticed a couple of times when he got the ball towards the edge of the box and he decided to maybe play someone in instead of take a shot on, and the pass was always behind his man, and that was extremely frustrating.
And I have to say, there was a move early on that Rovers made, and it was a superb team move. You'd have,
from inside their own half.
Yeah,
to the other
you'd have been annoyed if you were watching the EPL, because it was a lovely move. And the ball eventually came to Dan Carr and he hit wide, and it was a terrific move. And I was just almost willing to put it in.
I think it was Byrne that played him in, and I'm surprised he didn't take the shot on himself, to be honest. I thought the pass to Carr was just one too many.
Yeah.
But when Carr gets it, he has to go across the goal, not into the side netting. Bit of an amateur mistake.
Playing some good stuff though, Rovers.
Very impressive.
But I have to say, what an awful miss from Mikey Drennan. Unmarked header, went wide, and that would have changed the game.
Rovers could have scored 4 or 5 on the night, but had that one gone in, could have been a major turning point in the game.
Well, another keeper that played well, Brendan Clark. He made a couple of great saves.
He's had a few great saves already this season.
He has, yeah.
Top
We've always
keeper.
Rated him.
Yeah.
But to be honest, Rovers should have won this by more. Aaron Green should have made it 2-0 after an uncharacteristic mistake from Simon Madden. I don't know if you saw that one.
There was a lot of defensive mistakes on the night from St. Pat's. Very out of character from the likes of Madden, as you mentioned. But the one negative aspect from Rovers was the lack of killer instinct. Green's one-on-one with the goalkeeper there, and he hasn't tried to go around him, he hasn't tried to chip him, he's just blasted straight at the goalkeeper. You mentioned Carr's finishing was poor on the night, so they could have had 4 or 5 and it would have really sent out a message. But look, a 1-0 sends out a message of its own that Rovers are willing to grind out these sort of results, and they go top of the league.
And I think we should say again, Kieran, great attendance and great atmosphere.
Brilliant. You just hope they come back now despite that disappointment.
They will, I'm sure they will.
So John, that brings us to our first interview of the night, and we're going to hear from that man who had that awful miss on the night at Richmond Park, but he's had a great start to the season otherwise. It's St. Patrick's Athletic striker Mikey Drennan. So Mikey Drennan joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Mikey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So Mikey, last time we spoke to you, you were in the red and white of Sligo Rovers, but this season it's St. Patrick's Athletic. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit behind the thinking in that decision making.
I suppose the decision was that I had an option to stay at Sligo and obviously if it went past into December, then I had options to look elsewhere, and there was teams looking to buy me, and there was teams that were looking to take me, and I ended up going. I could just go because whatever happened with stuff and that. It's not really kind of up to me or that, but I got to go on a free, and I was like, because obviously I wanted to come back home and come back in the closer to home and stuff like that. So, I'm delighted to be here at St. Patson.
And you certainly must be delighted with the start you've made in terms of goals this season. I know things didn't go your way in the derby at the weekend, but from a personal point of view, fantastic goal scoring start to the season.
Yeah, I suppose it's always good to score goals, but I'm still disappointed. Like, I still probably should be having probably a few more goals as well, and the performances need to be better as well. And just as a whole team, like, I know we're only just together, and it will come, we'll all gel together and we'll all know what we're going to be doing. But I think it's just, it is a bit disappointing start, but look, it's still a long season ahead, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you know, you've made quite a lot of signings of as parts of the beginning of the season. I think, like you said, it's going to take a little bit of time to gel. But when he does, and players like the likes of Chris Forrester come on form, then you know, you're going to be a formidable team, I would say.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. Obviously, Chris coming back from the UK, and that is a great sign for us. And we have Reece. And obviously we're signing Brando as well, and there's a few other players that have been there last year that are fantastic as well. And I think it will take time, and I think when it does, I think we'll be a very good side, and I think we'll be up there near the top. But I think at the minute we're all disappointed. We're all working hard in the training ground trying to make that right. So all we're doing is, like, there's no need to panic or anything like that. I think when it does click, it will be good for us and the fans as well, because the fans have turned out in good numbers.
You think there's a bit of increased pressure this season, Mikey? Because a lot of pundits and even ourselves had maybe Pats to be top three side this season. Do you think that might be affecting things at the start of the season?
No, not at all. Like, it's like, I think pressure comes with the job, and I think a club like St. Pat's should be up there top three anyway, and there is that expectation on us, and look, that's just the way we need to deal with it. And like, there's no point of us being fifth, sixth, seventh or anything that. We need to be pushing up and going, especially with the players we have. Like, and as I said, like, when we do click, I think we will be very good. And I suppose it is a long season, like, and I think, like when we played against Shamrock Rovers there, we probably didn't play quite as well, but we still created a few chances, and like, we've been working hard on the training ground, and I think on Friday against Waterford, I think we're going to do very well, and I just hope we can keep winning and hopefully look up to the table.
Yeah, let's speak about this game on Friday against Waterford, Mikey. As you said, it's a huge game down in the RSC. Waterford, of course, were a European player side last season, so if St. Pat's do have aspirations of being in that top three and maybe pushing for a title, is a venue like the RSC somewhere that the club has to go and pick up 3 points?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, look, I think it's the top four or five, like, that they can all kind of beat each other and on their day, and I think it's just the lower half that you need to pick up the 3 points, as you see what Dundalk have done. Like, they've done that over and Cork over the last number of seasons. Like, they've beaten the teams lower than them, and then when it comes to the big games, obviously they've been winning most of them as well. But I think it's on the day, I think anyone can win with the top four or five sides. Like, so look, we need to go down there with 3 points. Every game we win through, we're going to be looking for 3 points. We're not going to be looking for a draw or anything like that. We're just going to be going for the win, and hopefully we can get that on Friday.
And of course, our good friend Shawzy is now playing with yourself at St. Pat's. How is he finding the transition to Richmond Park, and how have you found training and playing with him?
Yeah, very good. I played with him at Shamrock Rovers there for a few months before I took my break and that. And I think when the two of us do play together, I think we work off each other well. We know what each other are going to do, and I suppose that's just like anything. But look, it'll happen for everyone. It hasn't probably clicked for everyone yet, but I think it will sooner rather than later.
And finally, Mikey, you've touched on it already. The crowds at Richmond Park this season have been absolutely fantastic to see. When that venue is packed, I'd imagine it's one of the best in the league to go and play. And it's a real old fashioned ground, but at the same time, it's a lovely place to go and watch football.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's real packed and condensed, and you can hear all the atmosphere and that. And I just hope to keep turning up in their thousands as well. And hopefully we can start getting wins now at home and give them a reason to come to the games and hopefully score more goals, because it has been disappointing. We haven't created enough chances for us to be scoring goals, especially as a personal point of view. Like, I haven't only getting one or two chances when you probably should be getting at least three or four a game. And but look, they've been fantastic, and I hope they come down their numbers then down to Waterford on Friday.
Just on the chances that I suppose you've turned up, there hasn't been too many because you've put most of them to the back of the net this season. But that header against Rovers at the weekend, you must be disappointed with that one. Perhaps it could have been a turning point in the game had it gone the other way.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was very disappointed. I actually thought Libres was actually going ahead it, because I didn't think it was too high, and I kind of just reacted kind of last second. And if I wasn't good enough, I was very disappointed with it. And even looking back at it, I was kind of keep nodding my head at it. But look. As long as the chances keep coming, and I hope they do, and hope to come in threes and fours, and I'm sure I'll be there to put them in the back of the net. And look, it's still a long season ahead, and there's no need to panic around like that. So just hope everything will go well, and we're just going to look for the 3 points every game.
Mikey, brilliant having you on once again. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for your trip down to Waterford at the weekend.
No problem. Thanks very much, lad.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from Mikey Drennan, John, but it's that time of the week again. It's time for the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. Go to stmelsbrewing.com to see their latest offers, their latest, some new craft beers out, and I know you're a big fan of them, John.
Love them. Yeah.
As always, drink responsibly. You can get St. Mel's brewed here in Longford, but it's available in off licenses all over the country and done stores as well, so do keep an eye out. Let's go to the Premier Division, John, first, and Cork against Bowes has an interesting look to it at Turner's Cross.
Well, it does, doesn't it? And Cork, I think it's safe to say, have had a bit of a stuttery start, whereas Bowes, they can probably be pretty pleased with a start. But just a few signs there for me that Cork are getting into their strides after a, like you say, very shaky start. They don't like us tipping Bowes, so I'm gonna tip Cork.
Look, you can't shy away from your job here, John. Cork, I know they got four, as I said earlier, against Hearts, but I'm just not convinced that their attacking game is up to scratch at the moment. Whether that result can just breathe a bit of life and confidence into their attacking players, we'll have to wait and see. But Bowes have looked fairly solid this season. They're not shipping a lot of goals. The mistake made by Pender is very out of character. They've got a great goalkeeper this season in Talbot.
I can see Bowes fans all over holding their heads saying don't tip us.
I think I'm right in saying Corcoran missed the last game, didn't he? And so you'd be hoping he'll be back for this one. The countdown star. Did you see that during the week?
I did.
So look, we're counting down to this one, and Bowes fans are counting down to this prediction, but I'm sorry folks, I'm going to give Bowes a prediction to get a draw this week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a conundrum, that match.
Dreadful.
Dreadful.
Move on. Quick. So you're going Cork, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Move along to Waterford against St. Pat's. Could be a big game, this one.
Well, it is, yeah. And Waterford will be desperate to get some more points on the board because they've had a pretty awful start, Kieran.
This is the game where Pats really need to go and show that they can find their creative spark in the final third, yeah. Because that Waterford back four was shambolic against Dundalk. Regardless of the opposition, Dundalk were missing 6-7 players on the night. You do not leave Patrick Hooban free as a bird inside the penalty box to head it in for the opening goal. Once that happened, you could just see the heads drop and it was only going to go one way on the night. For me, Pats have to come out with 3 points in this one, because if they don't, you're going to be asking when they are going to click. When are they going to finally click, and if it's going to be too late. So I'm going for a Pats win, but for me, it has to be a Pats win on the night.
I've gone for a draw in this one, Kieran, and that Waterford will have to bounce back after that defeat at the weekend. I know it's Dundalk away, but you know they'll have to start getting something on the board.
The expectation won't be on Waterford to bounce back, though, because as you said, their squad does look a lot weaker on paper.
No, it does, but
they're not been tipped for a title. St. Pat's are been tipped to push Dundalk this season, so they need to go and prove they can do it at venues like the RC.
This is a team that's in Europe this season. This is a team that's had great attendances so far. You know, they've got to show the fans something. Well, we could be talking about another team where the fans are dripping away, you know.
I'd be very worried about their chances in Europe this season.
Well, yeah.
I know that's a long way off, but from what we've seen so far, I can't see.
Draw for me anyway, Kieran.
Okay. UCD against Harps. This has the potential to be the game of the weekend because this is a huge six-pointer even at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I didn't really know where to go with this one, Kieran, because neither team, you know, Harps had that promising performance against Cork. They scored a few goals, but equally they've let a few in and weakness from set pieces. UCD, desperate to get their first win on the board. I've just got a funny feeling they might get that in this match. Well, I'm going to go with a UCD win.
I'm going to follow you on that one because I thought their performance against Sligo was very, very positive. Yep. One defensive lapse of concentration, so I'm sure they'll work on that during the week and keeping their concentration and keeping their shape when they don't have possession. Just like to see a little bit more in terms of trying to get Conor Davis into the game and not having him trying to create everything himself. I'd like to just see them try and work a little bit harder in the final third, but I think with the home advantage, UCD will certainly fancy their chances. And this is a game where both sides have a chance to go and put a bit of daylight between their main relegation rival. Harps will come up, they'll look again to dominate on set pieces and the aerial ball and picking up second balls, but I think UCD just have enough to edge this one.
Okay, we'll move on.
Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers. Always a great game down the years.
And there should be no difference because, let's face it, Rovers are flying.
10-year anniversary of Tallaght Stadium opening today, so you'd be hoping for a real jam-packed attendance at the weekend.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will. Look, the crowds are going to get behind them, Kieran, the way they're playing and they're top of the league and they're facing a Sligo team who, to be fair, have started a lot better than I thought they would.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
they just I don't think so.
No,
I know that obviously they got the 3 points against UCD, but even Liam Buckley admitted himself the performance hasn't been great, and they haven't showed that style of football that's associated with Liam Buckley.
Go back to the first couple of matches, though, Kieran, when you were talking about their defence being all over the shop and the new signings absolutely looking like comedy players. Some of them, I think you were very critical of Leverock in particular. It's starting to settle a bit, though, now.
Okay, so maybe you can argue that they're going to try and get the back of the team right before they go and go forward. But against a team like Shamrock Rovers, they have so many attacking players who have the likes of Dan Carr starting to get a bit of confidence.
Well, Kieran, I'm not saying Sligo are going to go there and win, because they're not, you know. Okay. But I'm just saying that there are promising signs. Park's goals, just a bit more solid at the back.
What is positive signs in terms of their league position this season?
In what way? Sorry, Kieran.
Where do you think Sligo should be looking to finish this season?
I think they'll be happy with mid-table. I mean, new manager, team in transition, completely different.
Nailed down mid-table for me. 5th, 6th, 7th.
Oh, Kieran, you've been very specific here. You know, look, I'm looking and I think, is there a couple of teams worse than them? Yes, there is. I think they'll be delighted if they finish 6th.
They won't be 6th.
You don't think so? But anyway,
we can speak about their greater chances in the league as we go on through the year, but I haven't been impressed with Sligo's start, and I've been disappointed because I thought when Buckley came in there we might see something different, but it hasn't been great so far. I fancy Shamrock Rovers to win this one and win it quite comfortably.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rovers for everything I've said. They're positive about Sligo there and their improvements that they've made. It's definitely going to be a Rovers win this one.
Okay, second interview of the night coming up any second now with Declan Devine. But let's get the prediction first. Derry, they host Dundalk. The Brandywell looking to be sold out for this one.
Yeah, and look, there's just great signs that Dundalk are back. The Dundalk that we've seen last season, they played very, very well last weekend against a poor Waterford side.
I'm glad you said that because I didn't want to be the one that has to be negative.
Yeah, but it's still Waterford, and they managed that win without a lot of players missing. Yeah. So,
and if they can get one or two of them back for this game, no update on the likes of Duffy yet. So
this, for me, will sort the boys from the men and sort out whether Derry are real European
contenders.
Well,
you said it yourself. Derry have showed a lot more steel this season.
They have.
If they can go and get any sort of performance and result from this game, then they'll really do their chances great for going on the rest of the season. Dundalk, though, this is the sort of game champions have to go and win. Mm-hmm. So, come on, what way do you see it?
And look, they won't want to draw this or lose this because that will put them even further behind Rovers. I fully expect Shamrock Rovers to beat Sligo. Mm. They won't want to be that far behind them this early on the season. It's sort of...
Even if they do, though, I don't think they'll panic, especially with players come back from injury.
No, they won't. No. But I think they'll go to Derry. I think they'll beat Derry.
Yeah, I agree. But I think this
I'm not going to sell that to Declan Devine, though. No, can tell him that.
I think this will be close, though.
Yeah, it will, yeah.
I won't ask you for a scoreline because we do have a few differences in opinion on results there, so there's no need to go for a separator, but both of us going for a Dundalk win. But let's get our second interview of the night, and we're delighted to have this man on the show. It's Declan Devine, the Derry City manager. So I'm delighted to say we're joined on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast by the Derry City manager, Declan Devine. Declan, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, lads. It's good to be on. You're doing a great job.
Thanks very much, Declan. Much appreciated. And I think myself and John have been very high in praise for yourself in the last couple of weeks. Before we speak about the results from the last few weeks, Declan, one question we'd love to ask you, one thing we highlighted on the show in pre-season, your walk around the city with the players. Where did that idea come from? Something quite unique.
It's just something different. It's I was actually going to meet a player in the Everglades to talk about signing him, and I met one of the supporters who actually does the tours of the Derry walls and the Bogside murals, and it was just an idea we had because we knew that we were going to obviously have to bring in a lot of new players whenever we came in. The recruitment was key, so it was just something that we had an idea about. You know, Derry's a unique place; it's full of history. The Derry public have had a difficult time over the course of the last 50 years, and we know how much the city means to the people from here. And you know, when you bring players from outside the city, I think it's important that they know the history of the not only the club but of the people that they're representing. And you know, when you have supporters of the football club that are doing many different jobs around the city, and one of them being as a tour guide, it actually fell on their lap, to be honest. It was something that we spoke to the players about, and they bought on that. And it was actually a really terrible day that we went on the tour, and it was something that was fantastic for team building, but more importantly, it was good to let people know where we are as a city and what the club means to the people.
I always enjoyed going to Derry when I used to work as over in England, but I used to look after a pharmacy there in Derry, and it always got a nice warm welcome. So yeah, that's great to see you trying something like that. But you've been a bit unlucky so far this season with injuries and suspensions, you know, signing players and then getting injured early.
We have, John. We have. And to be fair, I've listened to Keith Long this week, and he's 100% right. You know, it's a very intense start to the season for all teams. I know Dundalk, for instance, missing a few. Bohemians were missing a few the other night against ourselves. We were missing four or five. But, you know, it's the nature of the game at the minute. Last year was exactly the same. But as a manager, it makes your task very difficult. We're trying. The crowds have been fantastic throughout the league at the start of the season here, and we want to keep those people coming in through the turnstiles. But we also, it's a happy medium of how we can put a good product on the pitch. And unfortunately, with the pitches being so soft and the conditions being difficult and players squeezing on a period of pre-season and a short period of time, we're always going to pick up injuries if we've so many games early on in the season. But look, it is what it is. We've got to make sure that, you know, we look after the next game that's coming up, and thankfully, hopefully this week we may have, and the league may have, a lot of its best players back in again, because ultimately we want a good product on the pitch from all the clubs, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose it's difficult, you know, just from a fixture perspective, you know, having a couple of long away trips, the likes of Cork and Bohemians there at the weekend, you know, that puts extra pressure on the squad, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and on the flip side of it as well, for a new squad, you know, lads, it's actually beneficial as well, because it gives us a bit of time to spend time together. We're all getting to know each other again, and, you know, out of every negative, we have to find a plus, and the plus side for us was we went down to Cork, we got to spend a couple of days together, we trained well, we performed quite well in the game. So, you know, the results and performances always make the travelling a wee bit easier, so, you know, we'll take the pluses out of it, but at the same time, yes, this league, this is an unforgiving league. We have a lot of travelling to do, as Cork will have, as Waterford will have, as Sligo and Finnarps will have. But at the same time, you know, you use it as a plus, and you try and get that group of players really tight and go into these venues. You know, there's certainly worse places they go than playing Cork and Dalymount. You know, they're two venues that I have always loved going and playing and managing them. And, you know, it's great whenever you go into these games and there's big crowds there. So, you know, out of all the negative, we always find a plus, and we always make sure that, you know, we're very respectful of going to these venues, and that, you know, this is the highest level of football we can play in this country, and we should thoroughly enjoy it every single week.
Just going back to a point you've made there, Declan, in regards to pitches at this time of the year, obviously very soft, as you've mentioned. We're pre-recording this interview with yourself just before we start tonight's show. And on tonight's show, we're going to be discussing pitches a lot in the league. After the surface, Loughborough Town had to play on at the weekend, a game we covered against Cabinteely. Obviously, Derry City are one of the clubs with a 4G surface. Do you feel those plastic pitches maybe have more and more place in this league now until we can get into a position in this country where clubs are able to maintain full-time ground staff and the facilities to go with it?
Well, I see the reasoning in both. For me, I'll always be a grass pitch man. I'll always be a guy that likes a proper surface and a proper platform to play on. But, you know, at the Brandywell, we have a fantastic facility. It's not like some of the pitches in the past that are wore out very easy. It's not like a pitch that doesn't lend the passing the ball well on it. Mm. It's a fantastic surface that we train on a daily basis. But it's also somewhere where other teams will come and enjoy playing as well. If you like to move the ball on our pitch, then you're coming into a venue that will encourage you to pass the ball. You know, it's not like, say, a few pitches in the past that were very difficult to play on, but I'll always be old school. I'll very much be for, you know, we went to Tala a couple of weeks ago and the pitch was beautiful. You know, I know Dalymount was poor the other night, but at the same time, as the season progresses, Dalymount will be great, Turner's Cross will be great, you know, Tala will always be great. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that a grass pitch is fantastic. But at this moment in time in the Brandywell, we're delighted to play on the surface that we have. But, you know, it can get a bit repetitive in terms of training on it on a daily basis. But, again, whenever we walk out in the Brandywell on a daily basis to train, we're very fortunate in the surroundings we're on, because I've been there in the past when you're trying to get up that hill in the second half of games, and it certainly wasn't easy.
One thing I've noticed this season, Declan, is you seem to have got a bit more steeliness about the team. In previous seasons, Derry might have gone to Cork and Bowes, and, you know, defence could have made, you know, you look at the defence making mistakes, getting beaten, but you're starting to get some good results on your travels. Obviously, something you've been really working at is the defensive side of the game.
Well, I think when we first came in, we seen the amount of goals that was conceded last year, and that's no one's fault, but the group of players that was there last year, you know, so something wasn't right, and we had to nullify and make sure that we were reasonably hard to beat. It is still very early days. We're still getting to know each other. I think in both transitions, in terms of defensive and attacking wise, I think we can get better. But at the same time, I'm delighted with the application the players has given us. I've consistently said that this league, you've got to make sure that, you know, you defend well, and when the chance presents yourself, you've got to try and play a bit and try and show people that we've technically very gifted players. And to be fair, in flits and starts, we've been very good with the ball. But yes, we've certainly been quite solid at times. Going to Cork and getting a 0-0 was fantastic for us in terms of being such a new squad. But, you know, I think as the season goes on, we will get better. I think we'll get better both defensively and attacking wise. But, you know, I've been delighted with the application of the players so far, lads.
And Declan, some of the teams that were expected, I suppose, to be right up there at the start of this season, they've started slow. Maybe I'm looking at St. Pat's haven't clicked yet. Obviously, Cork, that great win in Finn Park at the weekend, but probably slightly lower expectations this season. Waterford maybe on paper a weaker squad. Where can Derry push for a place in the top four this season without obviously wanting to put you under any sort of pressure?
I think, to be honest, Kieran, I think what we've got to do is make sure that we take care of every game. You know, people are saying that this team's weaker and that team's weaker. I think everybody's finding their feet. I think, you know, I've watched a lot of clubs play a lot of games, and in periods of all the games, you can see the quality that's on this league. We should never underestimate how teams are doing at this moment in time, because it is literally five weeks into the season. You know, there's players that, you know, are coming on the new squads, are coming on the league for the first time. But, you know, the product, but believe me, when you're managing against some of these teams, you're not looking at them and saying, well, he's not so good or he's not so good. You're actually going the opposite way and saying, look, this is a very difficult game for us, because ultimately, if anybody in this league looks down their nose at any team, then I think they're on for a rude awakening. Because I think, yes, Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers and Cork have been the bench, you know, the markers as the last few years have moved on. But, you know, every team this year is going to be competitive. We have one of our most difficult games against UCD, because they play in a freedom and they play a way that, you know, they manage the ball. I was a pundit last year and I watched UCD playing against Dundalk in the FA Cup semi-final, and they actually had more possession than Dundalk did, and it took a Patrick McElhinney goal for them to get through to the final. But, you know, do not underestimate the quality that's on show in any of these teams. You mentioned St. Pat's and Waterford. Do I expect them to be fully up around that top end of the table come the end of the season? Absolutely, because there's so many good football people and they're around their clubs and they've got so many good players, lads. You know, so I just think that it is very difficult. Every game's difficult, and if you look down your nose at anybody in this league has a habit of coming back and biting you in the bum.
And a cracker this weekend, Declan. You must be really looking forward to this one. Dundalk, these are the matches you look forward to, really, aren't they? Testing yourself against the would-be champions.
Absolutely. It's the reason why you're involved in the game. We'll have... The one thing that we have got at the club at the moment is tremendous backing from the fans and the public. And asking today around the club how the tickets are going, the place is nearly sold out. That is exactly what we want. We want big games against the best teams, and you know, they don't get any harder, don't get any more difficult. Dundalk are coming on the back of a fantastic one against Waterford. They'll come to Derry. The pitch will suit Dundalk, it'll suit us. In our opinion, that you know, we've got to have a game plan put in place that will help us in terms of trying to get something from the game. But I don't expect our boys to stand back and admire Dundalk, but at the same time, we'll fully go on there with the utmost respect for them. You know, but at the same time, it's a brilliant occasion for us. We're bringing players on from England, from Scotland, from Derry, from Dublin, and we want them to come under Brandywell and really know what the Brandywell is about in terms of big nights, big occasions. You know, I've been fortunate that I've been there through really, really good times, and you know, we want them good times to come back, and we don't come to Brandywell, you don't get a bigger game.
And finally, Declan, you were up to six bodies light at the weekend. Are you expecting to get any of those players back for this weekend's game? And there was a suggestion on during the Soccer Republic highlights that maybe Barry McNamee was carrying a slight knock. How is he finding it at the moment?
Well, I think Barry made himself available because we were down so many bodies. I fully expect Barry to be okay and ready to go this week. Greg's another one. Hopefully he'll train tomorrow. Hasn't done a lot over the last couple of days. But Patrick McLean is definitely out. He's done a little quad strain. But you know, I hope that Parkhouse, I hope that all the players will be back this week. You know, it's funny, whenever Dundalk are coming to town, there doesn't seem to be too many people sitting in the treatment room last week.
Declan, been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for that huge game against Dundalk. And once again, it's fantastic to see the crowds flocking back to what is a fine venue there at the Brandywell.
Brilliant, lads, and keep up a good work. Great stuff, lads. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Declan.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Great interview there with Declan Devine, Kieran.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, John.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's obviously a man that thinks he can finish quite well this season.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. Again, that game on Friday against Dundalk. I wish that type of game was televised.
Oh, don't you just? I was just thinking that myself, because that's the kind of game.
Sold out stadium, great atmosphere, great away support, great pitch, two great footballing teams, star players all over the pitch.
0-0.
You said it, not me. Look, let's go to the First Division, because I'm loving the First Division this season. I know we're only going into our fourth round of the games, but I just think there's so many plot twists and so many great players, as I said earlier on the show, and you just, despite everyone tipping Shelburne, you just really don't know still. But let's go to our first fixture. Bray host Athlone.
Right, okay, so Bray, red hot at the moment. Athlone, great start. Okay, obviously, Cameron stuck a little bit against Shells last week, but
they showed good signs in their performance.
Yeah, they did, but this is a Bray side that have really hit the straps early on in the season, and I can't see too much apart from a home win. I don't think Athlone should be too discouraged, though, if they do go down.
No, if they can put in any sort of similar performance that they did against Shells, obviously they're going away from home this time, and as you mentioned, Bray have been faultless so far this season.
And I was thinking as well, Kieran, it's a lot to ask for Athlone. I mean, they were awful last season, let's face it. That truly awful, and that much going on off the field. And, you know, you can't expect... Rome wasn't built in a day. That's probably the best thing I can say. It's going to take a little while for Athlone to be really challenging up
no,
there.
No, I think so. From an Athlone point of view, put in a positive performance, don't ship too many goals. Even a 2-0 scoreline here wouldn't be a disaster again.
And no red cards.
They're not going to be thinking that way. But look, just from a neutral's point of view here, positive performance, don't ship too many goals, don't get any more players sent off, no injuries, and get yourself nice and ready for that derby game next week, because that's the game where everything's going to be on the line.
So, Kieran, for me, it's going to be a Bray win. Are you joining me with that one?
Yeah, I'm joining you with that one.
Okay.
We'll move along. Drogheda against Cabinteely.
Okay, well, Cabinteely, you saw a different Cabinteely second half against Longford, whereas Drogheda have been pretty disappointing so far this season, apart from that win early on, but... I don't know. I think they'll have enough to beat Cabinteely here at home, but it'll be close.
I'm not sure, John. They really struggled to create chances in their games. Cabinteely were truly awful in that first half against Longford. Mm-hmm. In the second half, they came out a different animal. Very, very direct off the entire night. So, would you like to see a bit more football from them? Yes. Will we probably see more of it? The answer is probably no, but at the back they have two absolutely fantastic centre-halves in Jack Chew, Conor Keeley. They were superb the other night. Mm-hmm. Jack Watson in midfield was very, very good, and then obviously Marty Waters got the assist, so he's had a great start to the season. Manly really impressed me. I think Cabo have a chance here of going away with all three, but I'm going to go for a draw.
And expensive trip for any of the fans that go. What do you think of Drogheda's ticket price in this season?
Yeah, I'm glad you've raised that, John. We have to talk about it, and we're not talking about it to try and be nasty here or anything, but the minute they put up this tweet and their Facebook image of the prices for this game and their prices for the season, the reaction away from fans all across the league was extremely negative. I didn't see one positive comment. €20 into a stand that is truly awful. The away end, the view is terrible. It's a shed you're standing in, basically. €13, I think.
I don't like these advance savings neither as well. For, you know, that's...
No,
I don't know. I think it puts fans off.
The attendances have been pouring off a Drogheda this season. Yeah. You know, it's a big year for the club. They're celebrating 100 years, so there should be a good buzz around the place. News of a new stadium as well. There should be more positivity around Drogheda than there is, even with the poor results they've had at the start of the season. Those prices are awful. I'm sorry, they're absolutely awful. And the fact that the club hasn't come out and reacted to the negative criticism they received, it says a lot for me, because I even see that they sent a reply to Jamie Moore that does one of the League of Ireland podcasts.
Yep.
And they said, you know, we hope to see you down here soon, Jimmy.
Not at those prices.
Exactly. It's stupid. Someone needs to look at that, and they need to address it in a big way. Way too expensive, especially for First Division football. But even with the facilities in question there, even if they were playing in the Premier Division, I'd have huge reservations about paying €20 to watch football in that ground. But look, for me, Cabinteely have a chance here. You've gone for Drogheda. We'll move along. Limerick play Cove. You're probably looking at a poor attendance for this one. Hopefully we're wrong on that front, but... both teams having poor starts to the season, despite Cove's great 6-1 at the weekend.
Yeah, it's not a match that's going to get anybody too excited, this one, I don't think, is it, Kieran? I've just gone with the home advantage, to be honest, just with Limerick. I know they've really struggled, and they're struggling to score any type of goals, whereas Cove, they do have a bit of goal threat, you know, the likes of Leonard and Caviar. So they have players that can score a few goals. I just found that difficult to call. I just went with the home advantage, I have to say.
I think Cove are up and running now after that 6-1. Do I expect them to be in the playoff mix this season? No, is the answer. I thought they might have had a better start than they did. But look, they've got their bit of positive momentum behind them now. And you're hoping they can kick on. For Limerick, I think just a word to sum them up at the moment. They're very stale. They're a stale side to watch. There's no creativity to the side. There's no buzz around the club at all. I think it's going to be an away win.
Frustrating times to be Limerick fans, I would say. Yeah, because it does feel stale, doesn't it? I know there was talk of that there's investors there that are going to see Limerick through for the season, but to me, you know, like, there needs to be something.
I just hope that can get sorted and they can get those investors in for next season.
There's no excitement.
No excitement.
There's no social media build up. There's nothing. No. I feel sorry for your Limerick fans.
Where you're looking at Cove, and at least they're trying.
Yeah.
With the resources that they haven't got, they're very few volunteers, but the people involved there are really working their socks off and trying their best.
And Limerick have a good fan base. They have potential to have 1,000+ attendances every match.
It's a nice place to go and watch football in Marcus Field. So, you know, there's no excuse really for Limerick. They need to try and get their house in order a little bit off the field and try and get a buzz around the club, even if results aren't going to be the best this season. But for me, I'm going for a Cove win. You've gone for Limerick. Let's move on. I don't think there's going to be any arguing over this result, John. Shelburne host Wexford.
Yeah, I'm expecting Wexford to go there and win. No, I'm a little, no, sorry, couldn't resist it. After you panning them earlier on in the show. But I do think it could be another thrashing, I'm afraid.
It's funny because these are the sort of games where you expect, you know, a cricket score.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen, and they might just, they'll get a goal maybe 60, 65 minutes in, and then they might get another one on the 80-minute mark, and they grind out a 2 or 3-0 win.
Yeah.
I think this could be something similar. I'm hoping it's not going to be, you know, something
7-0 or something ridiculous. Yeah.
Because it's not good for the league.
Yeah.
But there's no question it's going to be a Shells win.
Yep, agreed. And where we're going finally, Kieran?
Final game of the weekend. It's a huge one at City Colin Stadium. Longford Town host Galway United on Saturday night.
Yeah, should be a good one. I mean, both sides...
they're always good, these games. There's a bit of bite in them. There's a bit of rivalry between the two sets of fan bases.
There is, yeah. And I think it's the potential to be a good game. I'm not 100% convinced that Longford have completely hit top gear yet. And Galway...
Showing positive signs, Galway.
Yeah, some positive signs, but I just don't think they're going to be there at the end of the season.
No.
I think Longford have to win this one, to be honest. I agree.
Dobbs, Aaron Dobbs was missing from the starting lineup and from the squad against Camp.
He wasn't on the bench, was he?
No, he picked up an injury in training. So you're hoping he's going to be back for this one, because after scoring his first goal for the club the week before, you were hoping he was going to kick on.
Jamie Doyle's looked a little ineffective so far, has he?
Doyle worked his socks off again like he does every night, the last night. But yeah, he does seem a little bit ineffective at the moment. I think Doyle would thrive better in a team where there's more crosses coming from wide.
Yeah.
And that's not really Longford's way. They were very narrow again the other night playing the Diamond, but it was a huge pitch in Stradbroke. So the fullbacks again were been asked to do a lot of the work. But with the playing surface the way it was very hard to get balls in from wide. So a difficult night for Doyle. So we'll have to see whether Dobbs is given the nod. Dean Byrne again was brilliant the other night, even though the result didn't go Longford's way. So Longford, they have those attacking players that can open up a side, and I think that might just be the difference for this one. I've got to call a Longford win.
Same here, Kieran.
Right, well, we've been quite similar in... We've actually followed each other on almost every result, bar Limerick and Cove there.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose there's no need for a scoreline prediction.
No. Let's go to our final interview of the night, Kieran.
Yeah, delighted to get him back on the podcast. Obviously, it looked like he wouldn't be a Longford Town player for too much longer when he went to Finn Harps, but he's back in the Midlands now, and he got his first goal since returning against Cabinteely in that controversial game of the weekend, and we have him on the line now. It's Sam Verdon. Sam Verdon joins us once again on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Sam, you're welcome back to the show.
All right, lads. Thanks for having me.
So, Sam, I suppose when you left Longford, there was a lot of heartbreak among the fan base. But your stay in Donegal didn't last too long. Obviously, we don't want to dwell on it too much. We're here to talk to you tonight about Longford Town start to the season. But we do have to ask you about what was the situation in signing for Harps and then deciding it wasn't for yourself and to come back to Longford?
Yeah, I suppose I went to Harps to play in the Premier Division. That was the main reason. And look, I loved my time there. It was great. Ollie's, I can't speak highly enough, Ollie and the other lads there, Willie and Hexie and all the lads, the players and stuff. It's a great club and I hope they do well. But for me, it just didn't work out. And just some personal issues, just it all came to a head and I just had to decide to live.
Yeah, it must be great to get back to Longford and get back to scoring ways. You opened up the scoring for this season against Cabinteely there at the weekend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I suppose I haven't really scored since the middle of last. I think July. I was thinking only the other day. It's July. I think was my last goal. So kind of have those doubts. Jesus, can I still score? And then so luckily enough, I think it was only 10 minutes in the other day. I got a goal, so I was happy to be back and happy to be scoring.
But disappointing result eventually. I thought that would be one where we could get 3 points, really.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But when you go and look at the pitch before the game, you're thinking, Jesus, this doesn't look great. Like, and it's one of those kind of banana skins one. So although we were 1-0 up, and you're thinking, great, we'll win this game now. But I suppose if you had offered us a point, looking at the circumstances before the game, we probably would have taken it and ran.
Sam, we're pre-recording this with yourself, obviously, before the show kicks off, but we are going to be discussing the pitch in depth tonight on the show. Can I ask you, I spoke to Lee Stacey after the game for local radio, and he described it as the worst pitch he's ever played on. Would you agree with those sentiments?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too far away from that now, but at the end of the day, I don't think Cabinteely wanted like that either. In fairness to them, they surely can't want to play on that pitch either, and that's just the way it is. So at the end of the day, it's two teams there to play a game of football, and I suppose a bit it was difficult for both teams, but yeah, it certainly wasn't. I just think there should be some sort of standards that has to be met.
Yeah.
But like I said, I still wouldn't put the blame on Camatilli. At the end of the day, they can only do what they can do, and they've no other ground to play in, which is fair enough. But I still think the FAI should probably step in and say, hold on a minute, this isn't, it's not good. Especially like, you'd see better pitches in a public park. So, But again, like I said, I'm not laying the blame on Camatilli there. I think the FAI can have to step in and give them a dig out somehow.
Yeah, I think especially when you consider there was a pitch inspection at 2 p.m, even though there was clearly no water on the pitch, there was no issue with weather conditions. You can only imagine that maybe the referee, Paul O'Brady, felt that the pitch was in such a poor condition that an inspection was needed. Now, it's questionable in my opinion. Other people can have a different opinion to this, but I don't think the game should have gone ahead on that surface the other night. I think it was a health and safety issue. But again, as you said, surely there has to be some sort of standards in place, and if another team is to rock up there in a couple of weeks' time and if the pitch is in any worse condition than that, then surely big questions have to be asked.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, in fairness, I think I've played there 3 times and it's never ever really been a great pitch. You kind of know what you're getting when you go there, but the other night I think was definitely the worst it's been since I've been there. Well, since I've been playing there anyway. But look, at the end of the day, it's still 22 players in the pitch and the best team should be winning, and I suppose we probably felt after we went 1-0 up that we should have controlled the game better, especially in the second half. But in fairness to Camatilli, they came back in the second half and put on a good second half performance, and we kind of probably dropped our levels in the first half. So in fairness, even with the pitch not being great, I still thought we played quite well in the first half, and then Camatilli just came out in the second half and kind of dominated the game, really.
Yeah, so one thing we debate often is your best position. Do you see yourself more as a striker or a midfielder? Because you've played both for Longford's.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. I've kind of played a bit everywhere, I suppose. As a schoolboy, I probably would have started kind of deeper in midfield. And then at Pat's 19, sometimes I played up front. And then I never really played as a number 10, though, and Neil was kind of the person who played me as a number 10, and I suppose last year it kind of worked out well. But, I think, to be honest, it's just I don't really mind once I'm playing, but I do feel that I can contribute goals, so I suppose the nearer to the goal I am, the better.
Yeah, you got 9 goals last season. You'll be aiming to beat that this season, will you?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I think I would have got more last season if I hadn't got injured. I would have been confident enough for that, but hopefully this year I can get at least double figures. But we're only 3 games in, so I wouldn't be setting myself many targets. Just kind of take one game as it comes, and we'll see how it goes.
And what about this Longford Town team, Sam? Because I mean, we looked at it close season, lost 3 or 4 of probably our top players, but some said it seems more better balanced this season. What's your thoughts so far?
Yeah, I think I've actually been really, really surprised. Obviously, losing Dan and Dylan especially would have been two of our better players last year. And then coming back in, I suppose I wasn't really knowing what to expect, but I've been really pleasantly surprised. Last year, I suppose, we probably had 13, 14 good players, whereas this year there's 18, 19 players who are all going for positions, and then you've got a couple of young lads on the fringes as well, so it's definitely a lot more competitive squad, and even in training the standards are a lot higher, and it's been really good so far, and I've noticed a massive difference.
Speaking of young players, I have to ask you about one young man in particular. Ed Durbin has absolutely astounded me since he came into the team last season. With all the talk at the moment about underage international squads, etc., surely someone should be coming out and having a look at young Ed, because he's been absolutely, he's played like a player well beyond his years.
Yeah, definitely. Since I think the first game I played with Ed was not last year, the year before we played down in the RSC, Waterford had won the league.
Mm.
And I think he was the best player on the pitch that night. And I think that might have been his first start, if I'm not wrong. But he was really good that night. And he's just kicked on. The one thing I see with A is he's got ability and whatever, but he works his socks off. He'll stay back behind after training and put the hard work in. And he's always asking questions where he can improve and what can he do better. And that's the main thing with A, his attitude is spot on. And once his attitude stays like that, I have no doubts that he will probably in the future get into these internationals underage squads.
Finally, Sam, it looks like, despite being so early in the season, this game on Saturday at home to Galway United, it looks like a game of huge importance. Obviously, with the likes of Bray and Shells already having decent starts to the season, there's a danger if Longford were to slip up here that they could be cut adrift early doors. And a team like Galway, I know they've suffered defeats in the last few outings, but they've certainly shown some positives early on. So I suppose you don't want to be giving them any encouragement in terms of maybe a playoff place. So is this a must-win game for Longford, despite it being so early on in the season?
Yeah, well, every game we go into, we want to win. I wouldn't say it's kind of season-defining yet. Look, it's only the fourth game, but look, we want to win this game on Saturday. I think we're already 4 points behind Bray. We don't want that opening up to seven or whatever if they win on Friday. But, yeah, we definitely be going down to the City calling on Saturday and looking for 3 points. And I think this year, like I said, I think we've got 17, 18, 19 players who are really vying for positions and pushing each other into training, so it's only going to benefit us and keep the lads who played last week on their toes, and no one's going to be expecting to play, so really healthy competition. And once you have that in the squad, I think we can do well this year.
Well, Sam, it's been great having you back on the podcast, and it's great to have you back in the red and black. So best wishes for the rest of the season, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, cheers lads, no problem.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, John, I don't know how we've done it. We've nearly reached an hour and 20 minutes, so we'll wrap it up now. That's been an excellent show. But just to mention again, last week, well over 1,000 listeners. So every show this season, we've broken the 1,000 mark. So a huge thank you to everyone that continues to tune in and support Between the Stripes.
Yeah, and superb figures for your television shows as well, Kieran.
Yeah, so anyone that hasn't checked that out yet, Between the Stripes TV, it's quite new and up and running, so a lot of people still aren't aware of it, but some great interviews from across the league with managers and players. There'll be no Between the Stripes TV this weekend because I'm heading off to Scotland, so that means as well no Between the Stripes match day live commentary.
And you panned me to go and watch when I was going to watch Man City.
I'm not going to invest my money in any foreign league.
You'd probably go and watch Alloa or somebody like that.
Not after last time. But final point, just as I said, no match day commentary this weekend, but we return next Friday night, Friday the 22nd of March, with the biggest El Clasico derby in many's a year, Athlone Town hosting Longford in the First Division. It has the makings of an absolute classic, and I'm delighted to say that Jared Brilley is going to join me on commentary live from the Athlone Town Stadium. So if you haven't subscribed yet to our Mixlr account, do so now. It's Mixlr, so mixlr.com/between the stripes. If you subscribe, it's free of charge. You'll be able to chat with us live during the games, and you'll also get notifications of our upcoming broadcast, because we will have loads of live games from around the country this season. But that's been another edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Massive thanks as always to our sponsors, Flomax.ie, stmelsbrewing.com and Diageo.ie. Thanks to Porrock Lockeries here in Drumlish for hosting the show. And please do share this far and wide, and make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes, because we were out of the charts for the first time this season last week, John. I don't really know how it works considering our numbers are continuing to skyrocket, but give us a subscription and leave us a review if you feel we're worthy of 5 stars. We'd love to have it, and that should get us back up the table.
We were on Peter Crouch's tail the other week, and then I saw pictures of how many staff he has involved in his podcast.
Really?
And we don't have even anybody to make us a cup of tea, Kieran.
No, shocking, shocking. More investment needed in Irish podcasts, if you ask me. But folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week, and make sure you get out to a game this weekend, because there's some absolute classics in both divisions. See you next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.